This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Even as America's central bankers meet on interest rates today, the market is already pushing some of those higher. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. A key market story today is interest rates going higher, not at the hand of the Fed necessarily, but from market forces this morning. This is being driven today by a report on hiring that's out today. Here in the New York Bureau with me is Susan Schmidt, Senior Portfolio Manager at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Good to see you.
Hi.
All right. So this private sector tally of payrolls comes in this morning, higher than expected, and boom, you can see it right now in the 10-year yield in interest rates.
So the higher than expected number, 219,000 jobs per ADP were added to the economy. Expectations were closer to 185,000. So that's a positive to the upside, very good for the market. And we see it right away. The 10-year now is just over 3%. And we have not seen that over 3% level hold for the 10-year in quite some time.
Meanwhile, the guardians of interest rates at the U.S. Central Bank, the Fed, are going to wrap up their meeting in a couple of hours. Are they going to raise interest rates further sometime this afternoon?
Well, the market certainly doesn't think so, and probably not, because they tend to raise interest rates when they have a press conference after their meeting so they can explain why they're raising the rates. They're not having a press conference today, so all we'll get are the minutes of the meeting and the Fed statement. Very unlikely that they'll raise
rates. All right, but maybe one or two more times as the year transpires. But what about the effect on the economy and therefore interest rates of the threatened and actual tariffs being applied to some of our trading partners?
Well, the threat is that it's going to impact confidence. The more we hear about it, the more that CEOs are going to start backing off and wondering what's happening. Right now, there's been nothing concrete about it. But the longer that the discussions continue, the more danger it poses to decreasing that confidence and slowing the economy down.
All right. Susan Schmidt at Westwood Holdings Group in Dallas. Thank you.
Thank you.
The July car and truck sales figures have started to come out this morning. Ford sales fell more than 3%, with people moving away from cars into SUVs more and more. Fiat Chrysler is having a different morning. Its sales are up 6% for July with all those Jeeps. With consumer confidence up and some people feeling more flush because of the job market or the tax cut, vehicle sales have been generally strong this year. But for how long? Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman reports.
The auto industry is highly cyclical. When layoffs and foreclosures soared in the Great Recession, auto sales crashed. As jobs and household wealth have recovered, says Chris Hobson at IHS Market,
consumers are really in a good spot, and that's translating to auto sales.
Hobson says consumers are pretty much ignoring higher gas prices as they shop for new wheels. Pickups, SUVs, and crossovers now command more than 70% of the market.
Regardless of where fuel prices go, the seismic shift from passenger cars into light trucks and utility vehicles, that's going to be pretty permanent.
Kristen Jicek at the Center for Automotive Research says the biggest risks ahead are an economic downturn and the Trump administration's threatened tariffs on auto imports.
We show that the average cost of a vehicle sold in the United States would go up $4,400.
Jicek predicts even vehicles made here in the U.S. would go up about $2,200 because of all the imported parts they contain. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before.
More at paloaltonetworks.com.
Now to the economics of housing the homeless. In New York, there's a right to shelter requirement, meaning the city has to provide a temporary bed to anyone who needs it. But because of demand, New York often houses people in apartments and hotels where support services can be spotty or non-existent. Kristen Schwab reports from a shelter trying something new.
Jennifer Ladson recently moved into an apartment complex in the Bronx called Landing Road. It's a brand new building with shiny floor tiles and fresh white paint in the hallway leading to her door.
Hello.
Hi.
Come on in.
Before this, Ladson was homeless. Her mom had died and the landlord raised the rent on the apartment they shared. Then she lost her job and drained her savings in 401k. She'd been sleeping on couches and in shelters for over a year, until now.
Having my key in my hand to a place called home, that was everything I had hoped for.
Landing Road is owned by the nonprofit Bowery Residence Committee. BRC operates a 200-bed shelter there and offers 135 subsidized apartments. Ladson's studio costs her $470 a month, a third of what a one-bedroom goes for in this neighborhood. Here's how it works. Many shelters rely on city funding to rent market-rate space. CEO Muzzy Rosenblatt says BRC's approach cuts out the middleman.
Rather than have somebody else profit, why not have the not-for-profit generate the net income that we can reinvest in our mission?
BRC built Landing Road. Instead of paying money to a landlord, it puts the subsidy it gets from the city towards a building loan. What's left over subsidizes apartments like Ladson's. But Landing Road took a lot of upfront capital, $65 million. Deborah Padgett teaches social work and public health at New York University.
My concern is it's still producing more institutional living when that same amount of money could be turned into literally thousands of households' rental vouchers.
Padgett says stability is what people like Jennifer Ladson need. Things like not having to wait in line to shower at a shelter makes it easier to take on something like finding a job. When she moved into her studio at Landing Road, one of the first things Ladson did was take a steaming hot bath.
Just the small things. To feel like a lady again, to feel human again.
Meanwhile, BRC is looking for the site for its next building. In New York, I'm Kristen Schwab for Marketplace.
And somebody is suing, saying Canada Dry ginger ale doesn't have actual ginger. Dr. Pepper Snapple says the thing listed as natural flavoring does have some ginger. Here's my gift to you. I just tweeted a way to cut, like in half, the time and labor you need to make your own home brew ginger ale. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.